Psalm chapter 35.
Psalm chapter 35. And the kids will stay upstairs. You kids, pay attention. And I trust you'll get something from tonight as well. This is just something from my personal devotions. And of course, the Psalms are have a lot of prophetic weight to them. All the Bible does. There's a lot in there that's not directly to me, but there's plenty in there that's definitely for me. And I want to capitalize on that. I don't want to miss anything that God has. And these are not going to be, it's not a deep thought tonight, but Psalm chapter 35 will be where it comes from. And Psalm chapter 35 in history, September the 16th, 1774, the First Continental Congress opened with the reading of this psalm by the Reverend James Duché, an Episcopal minister. This was the first congressional reading before the first congressional prayer. And as they were meeting, that First Congressional Congress, Continental Congress was meeting, they were meeting because there were English battleships gathering in the harbors just off the coast, and they were being invaded, getting ready to get invaded. And so with the ominous threat of Great Britain coming in and possibly keeping them under British control, they read this. And what a chapter to read. We'll read the whole thing. Let's read Psalm 35, verse 1. We'll begin. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause had they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Let's continue the next section. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself, and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Thank you for being attentive through the reading of God's word tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, pray that you would help us tonight. And Father, feed our souls, we pray, from your word. God, help us to consider this chapter. Lord, it's a lengthier one to read for a Wednesday night Bible study. But Lord, I pray that you'd bring out this simple message that you gave to me, Lord, and let it be a blessing, I pray. For Christ's sake, amen. At the beginning of this chapter, he says, plead my cause. Plead my cause. I wonder, what is it in your life, what are you doing, what are you living for, that if you couldn't do anything for it, if all of your strength was gone, all of your health was gone, all of your money was gone, anything that you could do to further on your cause was gone, would God be interested in it? That's my question tonight. If everything that you could do was suspended, could you pray a prayer like this and say, God, plead my cause? I can't, but you can. I wonder that because as I look at this chapter, what I see is David doesn't live by the world's slogan. The world's slogan is this. It says, God helps those that help themselves. How many of you ever heard that before? If you think that's part of the Ten Commandments, don't raise your hand, but here's a spoiler, it's not. I was surprised. It actually comes from the Quran. The source of that comes from the Quran, and that is it's not a Bible teaching at all. God doesn't help those that help themselves. There's a lot of other things that God will do, and lots of other blessings. But to condense it down to saying God will only help those that help themselves is not biblical at all. In fact, the way David lived, he said, "I will not do for myself what God could do for me." Now, David wasn't lazy. You shouldn't be lazy. David wasn't careless. You shouldn't be careless. David wasn't a fatalist. He just wasn't throwing his hands up in the air and saying, whatever will be, shall be, will be, which, by the way, is not Bible either. All right? I have one. Thank you, Brother Bill. That's not what he was thinking at all. What he was thinking was, as if what God has called me to do, what God has for my life is worth doing, then when I am down and out, it's worth me praying that God would do and continue on. I see in verse 1, he says, plead my cause. I see down in verse 7, he says that some folks without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. That is what I'm going to say is the primary difference between a Christian and somebody that's lost. Is as a Christian, you understand that you were made for God's pleasure. You understand that you were made for Him. You understood at one point that you were a sinner and you could not glorify God that way. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means you can't glorify Him. You can't bring Him glory. In that state, You are not a pleasure to Him. Make Him ashamed. You chose, I hope, at one time to be saved like I did. I chose to trust Christ as my Savior. And at that point, God gave me the ability to bring Him praise and glory. And that is my cause. And that is your cause. God calls us to do it through different ways. But having a cause, if you don't have a cause, get a cause. What is a cause? Well, I'll read the definition. It does good to know what you're talking about. A cause is is the reason or motive that urges, moves, or impels the mind to act or decide. It is the sake or the account of. For this cause, you've heard said, he had a just cause. It's a reason, it's a motivation. What is it that motivates you? What is it that keeps you going? There are three big motivations of living things, and they manifest themselves in humans as well as animals, or treats. It's self-preservation, self-propagation, and self-preservation, propagation, and gratification. That means what they want to live a long time. They want to have kids, and they want to be happy. They want to feel good about all doing all those things. And that happens in any living, breathing thing, not just humans. But if you're a Christian, shouldn't you have something more than just self-preserving your life, gratifying your life, and prolonging and propagating your life? Shouldn't it be more than that? I think it should. Because if I want to be like David, one of these days I'm not going to be able to get up and go. My got up and go will have got up and left. You should have saw that coming. It was bound to happen. My get up and go will get up and leave. And I won't be able to do some things for myself. And even today, I think it's good as a young man, as a young person even, to realize that there's plenty that your life is supposed to do that you can't. And not because mom and dad said you couldn't, not because you're not old enough yet, but because you just can't. You might feel great, but you can't do what God wants you to do without being able to pray a prayer like David prayed. So have a cause. I see at the end he asks the Lord, he says, awake to my judgment, even unto my cause. And he says, let those that favor my righteous cause shout for joy at the end. You know, if you don't have a cause, you might adopt somebody else's. You might try to find one. What is there about your plans for the New Year's that line up with, and maybe everybody's got you're already thinking in 2022, but do you have a cause? Okay, I hope you have one. Let me ask you this: what about what you're planning in the next 2 or 3 days? What of that lines up with that cause? What is being written down on your calendar that's lining up with doing what God wants you to do? And if you couldn't accomplish any of those goals yourself, you could pray to God and say, Lord, plead my cause. David said at one time, when he was getting ready to, when he came to feed his brothers and delivered some goods to them, he saw Goliath marching and mocking and ridiculing God and cursing, and he said, why are we allowing this Philistine to blaspheme our God? And they said, just settle down, be quiet, don't be such a fanatic, don't make such a big noise here that he's liable to hear you. And David would, but it says he went through the host saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And can I just tell you, if you've got a cause, it'll be evident, because Christians that are dug in the trench and aren't planning on doing nothing aren't going to enjoy your company. That's okay. That's okay. If you find somebody's, if you find that every time you talk to somebody, you kind of rub them the wrong way, if you've got a cause, that's going to happen. It can't possibly because you just have a bad personality like me. It has to be. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes it's that way. But listen, if you have a cause, it's going to provoke those that don't. Maybe even provoke them into getting one and provoke them to getting in. And it's certainly going to attract the attention of the Philistine across the way. Some of you just said in your mind, that's a good reason not to have a cause. But may I just remind you, what are you living for if you're not living for the glory of God? What was David living for if it wasn't to put a rock in the head of that Philistine? What was he living for? He had a few sheep in the wilderness that he was taking care of. Father's youngest son. What did he have to live for? Nothing. He would have just disappeared into the pages of history and never shown up in the pages of Scripture. But he stepped up and said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And that's why we even know about a David. This world has its ideas of what you should live for. Don't live for those things. I would say from here, some lessons that we can take from this, folks, is if you get a cause from the Lord, take it from Scripture. You've got a cause. You've got to glorify God. How do you do that? That's different for everybody. But generally, it's this. It's in everything that you do. It goes like this in Colossians. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That pretty much covers everything. Word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Solomon said it this way: whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. So don't just don't just do everything, do something well. Do something well. Get a cause. Be committed enough. How do you know if you've got a cause enough? Well, you're committed to live for it. And we, in verses 1 through 10, we see that David was willing to live for his cause. And the way we know he's willing to live for it is he's praying that God would give him strength, that God would fight on his behalf, that God would put down his enemies. And he's doing all that thinking, if God will keep all this stuff away from me, my cause will survive. And so he prays that way. And it's okay to pray for things to keep back. You know, it's okay to pray that Bysville doesn't become California or San Francisco. I don't know if that ever crossed your mind, but boy, it crosses mine all the time. I don't want to be San Francisco. I tell you, the city where I used to live, Enid, they came out in a city council meeting and said that, that just made it public. We are setting California as our pattern. We want to be on the cutting edge and the progressive edge. So we want to be like California. I tell you, I don't want to be like California. not even in the least bit. And it's okay to say, God, keep that away from here. Keep the riots away from here. Keep the Black Lives Matter away from here. Keep the foolishness away from here. There's a lot of foolishness out there. It's okay to pray that if you've got a cause. If you don't have a cause, what does it matter? Might as well join in and jump in when everybody else is doing. We'll make the news. And that'll be fun, right? Have a cause. Be willing to live for it. Be willing to live for it. But also this, be willing and be submitted to suffer for it. In verses 11 to 18, he changes his tone. And in those first verses, he's saying, Lord, don't let it happen. Keep them away. Keep it at bay. But in verse 11, he says this, false witnesses did rise up. After all the praying that he did and all the stand that he took, it says in verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good. And he says in verse 15, in my adversity, they rejoiced. David goes through a terrible time. God let it happen to him. Even though he had had a worthy cause and he prayed desperately that God would let his cause survive. By the way, the America that prayed this prayer in 1774, I don't believe is the America of 2021. I think you would agree with me that America has lost her cause, has she not? She's lost her way in the last 100 years or so. But how did that happen? How does it happen that a whole nation gets off course? Let me ask you again. Do you have a cause? Because a nation of people with causes doesn't lose its way. Amen? But a nation of people that have lost their way individually are not going to be able to come into a place of government and authority and have any idea what they're doing. I believe with all my heart that if you have a cause, it will preserve what this was here back from 1774 to preserve it here. I'm not saying it may not ever leave Bysville, but we can have it here. We can have it here with the Lord's help. Excuse me, but if not, if it does happen that we say, God, please no, and we wake up one morning and it's happening, and it's here, and it is the news, and it's at our doorstep. What David discovered was that sometimes God doesn't answer a prayer the way you want it to. He said, Lord, keep them away. And then he says in verse 16, with hypocritical mockers, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. That's not what David wanted. God didn't answer that prayer, did he? Whether the Lord answers or not, you ought to leave your cause with him. At the end of his prayer, in verse 9, at the end of his prayer that God would preserve him, he says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. He said, God, I'll be glad at what you do for me. And then God didn't. What would be your response? What would be your reply? Look at what David said now in verse... where am I at here? Look down at verse 18. After everything does happen to David, he says this, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. If your cause is worth having, be surrendered, be submitted to suffer for it. You ought to be committed to live for it, but you ought to be submitted enough to suffer for it. David didn't give up his cause because God didn't answer his prayer. You know that God can say no and expect you to continue on without the resources that you asked for? You know that you can pray for health at this prayer meeting tonight and God says, I don't think so. That doesn't give you an excuse to say, well, I can't anymore and it's harder now than it ever has been. And so because of that, I'm just going to have to not do some things because God didn't answer my prayer. That's not what David said. That's not what David thought. God didn't do for him what he wanted to be done, and he said, I'll thank you anyways. I may have to make it up a couple times, but I'm going to think of things to be thankful for, and I'm going to thank you in the great congregation among much people. I'm going to let them hear my voice as I'm being spit on, as I'm being mocked, as I'm being ridiculed. If you had a cause that was worth living for, isn't it worth suffering for? I hope so. But at the last, he says, he goes on and prays again. From verse 18 down, from verse 19 down, he starts to pray again. David doesn't lose faith. How God could answer your prayers ought to inspire faith. Ought to inspire faith. That God, even though he didn't do it this time, he could do it next time. Because God's not a vending machine. It's not a predictable outcome. You don't put the money in and push the Coca-Cola button and expect the Coca-Cola to fall out. You don't push God's buttons. You need to get in on a cause that he's favorable toward. You need to start living for something that he's favorable towards. And even if you're living for that good cause and God doesn't answer your prayer, you should still thank him anyways, and you should not quit praying. You should not quit praying. He prays down through there, and to teach us a lesson, I believe, that as he prays, he brings up his cause again. And he says, Lord, when you do answer my prayers, let it be a celebration. Make it so that everybody knows that what happened was you and not me. Just because I have a hard time, Lord, doesn't mean the cause is wrong or that you were wrong for letting me go through the hard time. That's a pretty big lesson to learn. I believe the America of 1774 that prayed this prayer, I don't believe it was a chance thing. I think America did have a cause. I believe you can still have a cause that's worth having even when it falls apart in the middle. And even when all fingers can point to that prayer that God never answered, doesn't mean you should give it up. And it doesn't mean that he's at fault. Maybe it was this. Sometimes we try to answer our own prayers, don't we? You ever done that? You ever prayed? Sometimes there's prayers that need to be answered by you. You know, if we brought up prayer requests, somebody's having trouble with their grass. Their lawnmower broke and their grass is kind of high. Pray for that. All right. Well, there should be an obvious connection that there's probably somebody here that can answer that prayer request, right? Sometimes things are that way, but I believe God likes to get credit. You know why David said, I'll not do for me what God can do for me? He said that because when it came down to it, he wanted to be able to say, it's the Lord, and it's only God. In fact, those are David's exact words. It's the Lord. You know when he said that? He said that as he was marching out of his capital city, Jerusalem, with shame on his head because his own son had thrown him out of the kingdom. And he said, it's the Lord. Must have been the Lord. And they said, David, do something. He said, nope, I'm going to run. Why? I figure it's the Lord. And you know, when he got brought back, no man could stop him. You know why? Because as much as it was the Lord on the way out, it was the Lord on the way in. And when he came back in, there wasn't a man that stood before him. Not a dog moved his tongue as David walked back to the throne. That's just how David was. That's just how he was. And I think that'd be good if we were like that a little bit. I hope you retained your prayer list here for just a moment. And I hope you'll remember those names and those prayer requests that were there. I know it's hard to keep track of pieces of paper flying around, but I hope you'll pull that out again. And I'd like to do this. I'd like to have one of my daughters come to the piano and we'll play through that song or another song, just a couple verses. And we'll take a time to pray now, and then we'll sing a song together after that's done. But let's take a moment now and to pray over these things. And as we come to the end of this year, what have we been living for? Have we been trying to get God in on what we're doing? And let me tell you, that doesn't ever work. Why don't we try to get in on what God's doing? As we get in on what God's doing, we see what He's doing. We can pray, Lord, plead my cause. And just turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him. I suspect that there's prayer requests that we've been praying for a long time, haven't we? I want to encourage you, pray it again. Pray again. Just because God said no, just because He lets you go through some hard time, doesn't mean it was wrong to pray. If you're in on what God wants you to do, don't quit. Don't quit. There's no guarantee it's going to get easier. There's no guarantee it's going to get better. There's no guarantee that God's just going to make your life a bed of roses. Well, He might, but there's plenty of thorns with those roses. Take that prayer list and let's take a moment and just pray. You can pray where you're at. Come to the altar if you'd like to. Let's pray now over these things and ask God, Lord, let it be You. Plead my cause, Lord. Let's pray.